I'm here in studio with Danielle Mendoza, who is an activist with Vancouver Solidarity for Ayotzinapa. And he's here in Montreal to talk about the current situation in Mexico. So first, Danielle, welcome to the program.
Hi, hello. I'm very glad to be here in Montreal. We have a lot of solidarity from this city. Everything that's happening now, every news, every picture, we try to send it to Mexico, to the families of the 43 students missing. Mm-hmm. And this is a very big emotional support for them.
Mm-hmm. So let's go back and explain the situation. So for our listeners who don't know, I believe it was in September, 43 students in the state of Guerrero in Mexico went missing. Tell us, start from the beginning and tell us about that.
Okay, so the big headline is on September 26, 43 students were missing in Mexico. There were two shootings by the Mexican police. Since the very beginning, the students say that they were kidnapped by the Mexican police. Mm. But the government, they give another version. They try to say it was a conflict between drug dealers and the students. But this is a big lie. And these students came from a rural training teacher school named Raul Isidro Burgos that it was founded in 1926. So it is an 88 years old school with a socialist program, with a progressive program. And this is a school that is autonomous, that is basically running by their own students since 80 years ago.
Mm. Tell me a little bit more about the history. I'm curious to know. I mean, you said this school is part of a network that started 80 years ago. Tell me a little bit more about, like, the context. Why in Mexico do we see these autonomous communities making this education system?
So you have to know, like, we have a Mexican Revolution. You have to know the background and the context of this revolution because it is a time where you have the Russian Revolution, you have the beginning of the First War, you have a lot of.
This is in 1910, right?
This is 1910. So when this revolution finished, it was also in Mexico a huge anti-fascist movement.
Hmm.
So this is cool. Well, at the end of the revolution, there is a land reform. So basically, there is the new beginning for Mexico. We try to get a new government. And we try to share the land with the farmers, with the people who work it.
Mm.
So these schools, they started to give education to the farmers. Mm. Actually, the schools, this school in specific, it is built in the house of the landowner.
Mm.
So it's something like that. Take the house and build a school for the farmers.
Wow.
And start to organize the farmers so they can start to do production on the land.
The same school you're talking about where the 43 students were missing.
Wow. The same school. And this is a project that used to be almost 40 schools around Mexico. But then on the 1960s, the things changed a little bit. So they start to close the schools because they were so very radicals.
Mm.
But everything getting worse after the NAFTA agreement with Canada, United States, and Mexico.
Right.
Because basically, in Mexico used to be a system where the land belongs to the people who work it. So that means like if the farmer working on the land, so the land is for them.
Mm-hmm.
But since the NAFTA agreement, basically most of the land in Mexico began to be on private hands.
Mm-hmm.
So these schools are no longer useful for the government, but actually began to be the enemies of the state.
Mm. Mm. And so what do we know about you don't have to talk about each of the 43 students who went missing, but what do we know about these students in general? Talk a little bit about their activism and who some of them were as people.
Yeah, so in this case, this school, this is an all-men's school, But there is a lot of schools that are all women's schools in a lot of provinces in Mexico. These schools are famous because the students came from the poorest communities in Mexico. Mm. Actually, in order to get in the school, this is one of the requirements. You have to be a farmer, or you have to be the son or the daughters of the poor family. Also, you have to have a kind of political awareness. You have to have been involved in a kind of a grassroots movement in your community, because they get training to be teachers. Mm. So they were expected to get the training and go come back to the community to work with the children.
Okay.
So this is why, like, they really need people who want to have some education, who has some understanding, who has some kind of compromise with their own communities. Mm-hmm. So these students, they were also encouraged to get education because some of them are indigenous, or most of them are indigenous. Mm. So they want to become teachers, and they want to be teaching in their own native language. Mm.
And so, you know, since this tragedy happened, there's been huge demonstrations in Mexico. We saw, you know, fires outside of the presidential palace in Mexico City and massive demonstrations. You know, now we're in March 2015. What's the situation like now on the ground with regards to the 43 missing students?
Well, you have to know, like, in Mexico, we have about 100,000 people have died since the beginning of the so-called war on drugs. Mm. There is 26,000 people missing. There is a situation where we have extremely violence against women, especially working class women. There is about, I believe, 7 women are killed, I think, every week.
Wow.
So Ayotzinapa is the point. Is the point of the iceberg? How do you say that?
Yeah, point of the iceberg.
Point of the iceberg, because there is too many violence against the people. There is a kind of government that is running, that is scaring the people to keep the power. Mm-hmm. So, but when the students they were missing, the youth, especially the youth, suddenly they say, "That's enough." Mm-hmm. They start to protest. They start to protest by the thousands of people on the streets. Mm-hmm. And these demonstrations are still going on. They're still going on even though the Mexican government, they start to put checkpoints in the whole country. They sent, I believe, 20,000 people in Guerrero province to stop the mobilizations. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's the government who wants a confrontation with their own people. Mm-hmm. But the people want a peaceful movement. They want to change the country. There is something that happened in Mexico. There is the breakdown of the situation. And I believe we might have the starting of a new beginning.
Hmm. And so, again, since the students were disappeared, at least one of the bodies has been discovered and identified, if I'm not mistaken. But you believe, and I'm sure many others believe, that those other students are still alive and are still being held. Can you tell us more about that?
So, yeah. Since September 26, there were 43 missing students. Basically, the people don't trust the government because they've been lying. Since the very beginning, the students said it was the army who was involved. And the government, they tried to say it was the drug dealers. But since December, they have the proofs. There was the military. Hmm. So it was the army who get involved in kidnapping. And the students, they've been saying that some of their classmates are still alive.
Wow.
Are still alive, and they are held in some military camp in Mexico. Hmm. So there is 43 students missing. They have the remains of one of them, the Alexander Venancio. And the parents, they say, they are not going to trust anything from the Mexican police. And they have their own forensic team that came from Argentina. So any kind of remains, any kind of thing the Mexican government say about the missing of the students, there has to be through the forensic team, to the Argentinian team, because this is the team they trust.
Right.
So far, they haven't shown any proof. It is unclear. They try to say that the students, they were kidnapped and burned alive.
Wow.
But they haven't shown the proofs about that really thing happened.
Right. Hmm. And so you're involved in this case for justice for the missing 43 students. Many people in the country are active around this issue. You were mentioning before this interview that there's going to be a caravan of the families of the disappeared around the United States and even coming up to Canada this spring. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, there is a caravan that go to the States. It's coming up soon. It's going to be three caravans, one to the Pacific, the other one on the Atlantic, and other one in the center part of the States. After this caravan, they want to come to Canada. And they want to come to Canada because what happened, these families, the relatives are the guys who are picking up the Canadian tomatoes,
right,
the Canadian blueberries, and they're the communities who came from those places where the Canadian minings are working. So I wouldn't say that the Canadian companies, they were involved in the kidnapping, but there is one of the agents,
mm-hmm,
who has a lot of interest, and there is one of the agents who are funding paramilitary groups in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's impossible to talk about what's happening in Mexico without talking about the complicity of the American and Canadian governments because of all the business interests down there. And I mean, I'm glad you brought up the point of Mexican migrant workers up here, which so much of the Canadian economy is dependent on Mexico and that cheap labor that we get from the country. I'm wondering what should be some lessons for people in Canada to draw from? Like we can't just look at the situation down in Mexico as if it's removed from our own lives, because you're talking about the interconnections. And so what should people in Canada, what are some lessons we should draw, and how can people in Canada act in solidarity with not only the 43 students from Ayotzinapa, but what's happening more generally in the country?
So the parents came here to meet Canadian people, to meet the Latin community who has been supporting us. I think they are, for the Latin community, they are family.
Mm.
They are our families, and they want to talk to the Canadian people, not to the Canadian government. So the Canadian people, because they want to know, like, what's happening in Mexico, how is the situation of exploitation, how is the violence against women in Mexico, and how is involved the Canadian government in this violence.
Hmm.
So, yes, they asking for respect of human rights in Mexico, but this is not something like we're going to ask to the Queen.
Right.
There is something that we're going to ask to the Canadian people.
Mm-hmm.
So
the Queen probably wouldn't listen.
Probably. So basically, we're asking people like to go in solidarity and hear these parents, mm-hmm, hear these parents who are searching for the kids.
Mm-hmm. Great. And is there anything else you want to add?
Basically, right now we're doing fundraising across Canada. We get many cities involved, from Vancouver, Edmonton, Quebec, Montreal, Calgary, Ottawa, people in Toronto. We try to get some support for the families, but we also want to support one project. And I think it's very important to talk about this project since I'm here in a community radio.
Mm.
We are funding a community radio in Ayotzinapa.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, I've heard about that. Yeah.
And I think it is very important to have a community radio because there is nothing in the Mexican news. There is nothing about what's happening in Mexico. The government say nothing happened. They mm-hmm want to close the file and keep going with life. But the only way, the only means of communication the people in Guerrero has is their own community radios, their own TV stations they want to build up, and the social media. on the social media, and actually I think the message has been spread through these channels, through the alternative media. So this is why in Vancouver, in Edmonton, these two cities in specific, we tried to reach $10,000 to support the community radios in Guerrero, Mexico. So far, I think we are getting the goal, and we're going to close this campaign by April 12th. And if people want to do some donations, they can make it through the account we open in TD Canada Trust.
Okay.
You just can go there and say you want to make a donation to Solidaridad con Ayotzinapa, Vancouver.
All right.
In TD Canada Trust.
And we'll also post a link to this fundraising campaign on our website so our listeners can get more information about it as well, because I think that solidarity amongst community radios is crucial. So I thank you for bringing that message to our listeners today.
Yeah, thank you. And also, I think I want to share a link that Omar Garcia, who is the voice person of the students and the families of Ayotzinapa, he sent a message of, say, thank you for the solidarity, for the Canadian people. To the indigenous communities who have been supporting us and people of Ayotzinapa, because also the indigenous people in Canada, they were aware, and they've been doing fundraising for them since some months ago.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, again, we're here with Daniel Mendez, who is an activist from Vancouver with Solidarity for Ayotzinapa in Vancouver. He's here in Montreal to talk about the cause and to spread awareness. So thank you so much, Daniel.
Thank you so much.